Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On to save $10 off your first order of the best protein bars you will ever taste. Today's show, we are going to try out something new. We haven't really gotten any new details here from the NBA. I don't feel like dipping back into the hiatus slash offseason content. I've wanted to see what this looks like. So if it's a disaster, blame Pete. Pete, I do have a stupid hypothetical question for you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Do you have a pineapple on pizza take about drinks, or is it just pineapple on pizza? Is there something that you just refuse to even try? Like, are you like anti-sweet coffee? Are you?
No. I don't think with drinks. I'm a little
like scotch. Do you like a good scotch? Will you throw like Dr. Pepper in a good scotch?
I'm not super educated on the finer scotches and whatnot. I leave that to the Ben Rosaleses of the world. But I don't think I have anything that I'm super militant about. Do you have anything like where drink wise? Because I know some guys can be very particular with what mixes and what touches and what they drink. And
I mean, man, I'm going to sound like an asshole here. So two things, the scotch thing, that's exactly how I feel. Like I don't, if somebody presents you like a 12-year-old, an 18-year-old scotch, that bottle costs upwards of $100, maybe $200, and you throw like Coke or Dr. Pepper or ginger ale in it, I'm sorry, man, but you don't deserve to be drinking the scotch that somebody just offered you. Okay.
Yeah.
Like maybe a dash of mineral water, because some of those older scotches are extremely strong, right? And extremely oaky. So that's kind of what you're supposed to do to release some of that flavor. Don't mess around with soda there. I will also say that old fashions, it's actually an experience ordering an old fashioned. It's a bit of a risk ordering an old fashioned when I go out, because there's nothing worse than, like, every bartender knows what you're talking about when you say, hey, do you know how to make an old fashioned? And like, how, or if you ask like, hey, how's your guys' old fashioned? They know exactly what you mean. You prefer, you like your old fashions at home. You can probably make your old fashions at home. And you're asking like, is the thing that you're about to serve me an old fashioned, or is it a 7 and 7 with bitters in it? Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I go out and I ask a bartender, or I ask anybody at that restaurant or bar, hey, how's the old fashioned here? And they say, oh yeah, it's great. And then it comes back and it's a 7 and 7 with bitters. Let's just say I don't really plan any return trips to that.
Are you going to speak to the manager? You have very speak to the manager energy.
Yeah. I mean, right, I turn into Care Anthony, right? Like that's, that's the one spot. Cause it's really easy to just say no, man. Like get something else, you know, get a 7 and 7 with bitters, you know, this is what we serve. I don't really make a scene or anything like that. I'll make a comment to Jen, because at this point when I order an old fashioned, Jen watches me take that first sip, right? So I'll kind of say something like, you know, I won't even have to say anything. She'll see the look in my eyes and say, oh, not great, huh? And so we just kind of move on. But yeah, those are my only my two kind of issues or things, spots where I'm oddly specific about the stuff I drink. Everything other than that, it's alcohol. I'm not too worried. I don't really like white wine, and I'm not.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's probably my most strongly held alcohol take is white wine's like eh.
Yeah, I could live without it. All right, let's go ahead. So what we're going to do today, we are going to jump around on the headlines from On Silver Screen and Roll, the website I used to write for. There are some odd headlines here, and I just kind of want to get our quick thoughts on it. I want to start with a fun one here. So per Shams Charania, quote, an antenna went up around the league when the Lakers claimed Kostas Antetokounmpo. What's your thoughts? So what's your immediate takeaway there?
I mean, I think all of our antennas went up, right? Like,
is that what we're calling them? Is it?
innuendo. Yeah. yeah, man. I mean, that one, we're not always known for our subtlety when it comes to free agent pursuits, are we?
I always kind of feel bad for Kostas because it's like, he has the body and some of the physical talents to be able to be a basket, you know, an NBA player, maybe one day.
Oh, very much so. He's an NBA athlete for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, anytime a team signs him, you know exactly what they're thinking, which, like, you know what, if I was going to get a job for something that I probably don't deserve, an NBA, like getting a job to play basketball in the NBA,
not too
worse. You could do worse. But yeah, no, that's a fun one. I always like to, when a tweet like that goes out, I like to see if any, you know, different accounts quote tweeted it or anything like that. I didn't get around to doing that with this one, but yeah, I mean, it's funny how the rest of the teams around the league are as, if not more, in tuned to the stuff that we as fans are thinking. Like, we always get shit for Lakers exceptionalism and thinking that the Lakers have a chance on everybody, but everybody around the league seems to believe that. So why shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's worked for us so far, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to keep going with this. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. The best reason to go with Rock Auto and check out rockauto.com and all that they have to offer is to be able to maintain your own car and save money that way. Why spend up to 30 to 50 to 100% more on parts that you would be getting from some other real retailer that you can easily install yourself? And Rock Auto has everything that you might possibly be looking for. Just for an example, a Delphi FG1456 fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to a 2010 Honda Odyssey is $353.99 at Advance or any big chain store. It is $216.79 at rockauto.com. You can check out the link. I'll tweet out the link whenever. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices available rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Head on over to rockauto.com and use the write in Locked On for How Did You Hear About Us. So again, that's rockauto.com and then write Locked On for How Did You Hear About Us. It's a family owned business. They've been serving customers for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, this one is I'll just use these two headlines back to back. So first, Lakers assistant Lionel Hollins doesn't want to let age or the threat of coronavirus stop him from joining the team at Disney World. And then further down the line here, JaVale McGee says the idea of the Lakers the rest of the NBA being fully restricted to Disney World's bubble is, quote, slightly concerning. I'll go ahead and let you start because and we got to cut this off at, you know, 7 minutes or so.
So, you know, my thoughts on JaVale, I want the Lakers and I want all the players to stay in the bubble and, you know, for health reasons, for all of that, for team chemistry reasons. I just, you know, I've spoken my piece on they should have the right to be the ones who determine that, mm-hmm. like all adults do. So, I remain unflinched on that. What was the first one again?
This one's an interesting one. It was Lionel Hollins. Doesn't want to let age or the threat of coronavirus stop him from joining the team at Disney World. Doesn't this remind you of, like, I never had this too much with my parents. Had it with my parents-in-law, my mother and father-in-law, where it was like, guys, you got to be smarter than this. They were thinking about traveling. And I was like, guys, come on. You're in that age bracket. Let's not do this. Let's not go there. And it's funny to see the NBA dealing with like boomer parents too.
Sure. Yeah, I think my argument probably applies there too, right? Like Lionel Hollins is a grown up, and if you know, we'll see how they go about like coaching staffs and you know all of the support and whatnot. If the NBA is limiting the number of people that can come, right? Like I'm sure the NBA doesn't want a whole caravan from every team, you know, they want teams to minimize, right? The number of people who are coming. So is that even, will that mean coaches, people like Lionel Hollins, but Lionel Hollins is one of the, he's not, you know, the fifth or sixth assistant. He's right near the top. So, where does that come in? I hope they take precautions, certainly especially regarding the older coaches. It's just hard to imagine, dude, are like Vogel and the coaching staff going to have masks on the bench? Probably not, right?
They're all going to be standing. Like Vogel may as well have had a mask all year. Like, let's be honest, but
no, like, when there's a timeout, coaches are going to huddle up and talk about what's going on. And they're probably going to be within 6 feet of each other. Let's hope, you know, in terms of, you know, strategically, right? Everyone's hearing what everyone else is trying to do.
Especially in a gym with no fans.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to hear the huddle from 6 feet right over there.
Frank!
Frank! Killing us! What are we doing?
Elbow get, weak elbow get on this play. It'll be a three for Danny.
Yeah. They're going to all learn sign language. Like right now, we're dealing with sign language with Avery, right? Where
that's right.
You know, it's like all done, you know,
right?
like, you know, Rondo's coming onto the court. I'm all done. I'm out of here for a little bit. Yeah. The whole coaching thing. Look, you and I, we had that one show and it's not worth rehashing everything about it, but if you had an employee at your work who was particularly at risk of getting hurt on company time, special precautions would be made for that coach, right? This isn't like the Walt Disney thing or the bubble and all of that. All right, that borders on your civil rights. Right, your rights as a civilian, as a citizen in this country, but on company time, does what the Lakers would be doing, what all these NBA teams would be doing, does that put some of these guys at, you know, inordinate risk? If so, then you know, in some of those situations, there are extra precautions made. What those precautions would be. Whether the NBA or its teams would sign off on them, whether the coaches involved would sign off on them, who's to say? But that's where you have the coaches union, and that's where you have the players union step in to be able to say, hey, like this either can or cannot fly. I'm going to negotiate this for our constituency.
Yeah, I think that if they're putting safety precautions in place, you know, so long as they're able to participate as others are, that's what they should be doing. It, you know, in every angle that they have where they can protect people without taking away their civil rights, I think they should be pursuing. I'm pro safety. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, you know, pro adults being able to
old libertarian feet over here.
Hey man. I'm just saying, you know, look outside in Florida.
But right behind Pete's head right now in his room is a musket with a bayonet and everything. It's wild. All right. I'm going to skip on over here because the Silver Screen and Roll didn't write about this, but it produced one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen. This is from ESPN. And it's a video. Is the NBA giving players a free pass to use marijuana? They have already said, the NBA has said that they're going to test for for performance enhancers, but not for recreational drugs. My question is, like, why are we still having this conversation about weed? What are we doing here? Come on.
It's, I mean, who cares, right? And like half the country is making tax dollars off of it. And with everything else going on, it's just, yeah, a lot of people in jail for weed and weed related. Yeah, don't get me started.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, it's this, look, I mean, I moved to Texas, right? And it's funny to see it. I see way more CBD stores in Texas than I saw anything weed related in California. It's wild. The state like is doing everything it can to make money off of cannabis, but not have the stigma come with the red state be opening itself to marijuana. It's just like, guys, this is so stupid. I walked into a gas station the other day. They had CBD blunts like pre-wrapped. And I'm like, wait, we're doing this? We're going this far, but we're not going to let people get high off of just regular marijuana, right?
Right.
And, amen. Yeah. But yeah, I think my stance on pro sports is even stronger pro marijuana in that.
Just the start of that sentence. I didn't. You have my attention.
Yeah, they should have it. Like on
I
the
want
sideline.
These dudes. I want these dudes sparking up right before tip off.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, Hennessy worked for Ron Artest. He said back in the day, but like basically, we're asking these guys to put their bodies through insane amounts of wear and tear. Right, 82 game seasons. The like how hard they have to work to stay in shape year round. We know that, you know, some of the other things that they could be doing, alcohol included, have a much higher, like take a much greater toll on their bodies. But for some reason, sports is seen as this hallowed ground that cannot be touched or infested by those damn high athletes, right? It's so stupid. Here, if there's something exists out there that helps with the pain that comes with entertaining us, and it has much less downside, and we're talking clinically proven at this point, much less downside as some of the opioids that are forced upon athletes, especially in NFL, is less addictive than alcohol. If you have all of these factors, and for some reason still we're refusing to open the gates to the kingdom of athletics to marijuana, like it's one of the dumbest things we do in this country. I'm not even kidding. It's like up there, top 10 dumbest thing that we do in this country.
We tend to treat, and this is part of why, forgive me for tying this to the bubble idea, but we tend to treat them like we have some authority over their comings and goings and like what their individual freedoms because they play for our favorite team. Mm-hmm. That's just another example of it, right? It's a more extreme one. Like I get your perspective on the bubble, right? It's mm-hmm. It's well-intended, but yeah, with like the marijuana stuff, who are we kidding? Come on.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we are going to keep on going with these headlines. There's another headline here regarding next season that I found interesting. So we'll talk about that as well. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Built Bar. We've been talking about them for upwards of a month now, and I can't get over how great a product it really is. It's just, you know, anything that is beneficial to you in the way that this is, while also tasting as good as it does, it feels like a bit of a cheat code. And, you know, we watch here, we're all Lakers fans. Every so often, Anthony Davis will do something on a basketball court or LeBron James will do something on a basketball court. And you say to yourself, how is that even fair? That's really basically Built Bar's entire existence is you bite into it, you look at the nutrition, you see if there's any typos anywhere, you wind up asking yourself, how is this even fair? So head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, save $10 off that first order. We're obviously into June. They supported us all through May. And as we learn more heading down this path, they want to be partners with us for the foreseeable future. So for those of you who already use that promo code, I've already put in a question as to, is there going to be a follow-up promo code so that everybody can continue to benefit from this great product and further incentivize you doing that as well. So for now, it's still Locked On for $10 off your first order. If you use that and then you pass that along to people, I hope you have. And then as we learn more about our continued relationship with this great company, I'll supply you guys with another promo code as well. All right, so this comes in again from ESPN. Hawks GM Travis Schlenk. The league says 2020-2021 NBA schedule could be condensed. I feel like, so you and I kind of touched on this briefly as far as how what impact all this might have on the seasons to come. And the amount of noise coming in on the side of, no, actually, the current traditional NBA schedule suits us much better than any idea of playing into the summer. I've been kind of taken aback, kind of surprised, really, at the amount of noise coming in on that side, both from players and then some of these reports and leaks on that. On how nobody seems to really be all that interested in pushing the season back to playing into the summer on a permanent basis. Have you noticed that same thing? And you know, this is literally the league basically condensing an extra year, extending the impact that coronavirus is going to have to a full other season, just sure, so that it could have the chance at having a traditional schedule. That's pretty wild to me.
It is. And we don't know when fans are going to be allowed back in too, right? Like, would the next season open up in one location? Would everybody be playing at their home gyms, but with no fans? Will it be normal? We don't know that. I have noticed pushback against the extension of the season, which is something that I've been for, but if the people that actually have to go through it aren't down with it, like, yeah, okay, then that ends the conversation right there. If they want to have their summers and have it during those months when that's happening, I get it. You know,
yeah.
And if that's what they want to do, I've got no problem with that. And I think that said, a condensed schedule next season concerns me from an injury standpoint.
Yeah.
And I hope that they can do that safely.
Yeah. If they actually do condense it, I hope they play fewer games, frankly.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're gonna go so far as to condense the season and put guys at risk on that, then, you know, maybe instead of playing 82, you play 76 or any, you know, a handful fewer games so that you still meet the RSN requirements, all your contracts there, but you also don't have guys playing four games in five nights multiple times over the course of the year.
Right. And I unfortunately am skeptical that they would do that, because they're already going to be hurting from revenue with how this season went down. So I would fully expect even if it's condensed, a full 82 where they are playing those four games in five nights, just like you said.
Yeah. I'd even be fine taking a preseason game away and extending the game, because you don't make much off of preseason anyway.
Oh, right? For sure. Yeah.
So you could extend, you could technically still be playing a condensed season, but have it start like a week earlier and extend it out a little bit more per those, you know, relatively speaking. We've seen what happens when you try to fit too many games, both the lockout years when they try to fit as many games in as possible. Players from both of those seasons in my recent memory walked away from the experience saying they felt unsafe playing on some of those games. The other thing too is, all right, fine, you want to condense the season, but you got to be okay with a lot more load management games from across the league, you
mm-hmm.
know, which I don't really know if the NBA is down with, right? But you can't have your cake and eat it too here.
Yeah. They're going to have to consider the player's health on some aspect of this.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go another couple headlines here. Let's go. This is oddly specific. The Lakers will make $12 million from playing 8 regular season games before the playoffs. I'm actually going to click on this. I haven't clicked on a Silver Screen article in a long time. So you're welcome, Harrison. All right. So this is from Christian actually wrote this up, but Sam Amick. I think it's Amick. Broke it down for The Athletic. There's the quote, there's this financial bonus now too. Sources say the 8 regular season games being played with will all count towards teams' regional sports network television deals as well. For teams that have the most lucrative arrangements, such as the Lakers, this is a very big deal. To wit, sources say the Lakers pull in approximately $1.5 million per game from their RSN deal with Spectrum Sportsnet, meaning they'll recoup $12 million from those games in all, while losing an estimated $8 million because the schedule won't be completed. As I wrote in March of 2019, the first round is a bigger moneymaker for teams than the last three rounds because teams still hold local television and radio rights before yielding in the second round. That's interesting. For league-wide perspective, one of the lower-end RSN deals that I've heard pays approximately $200,000 per game. I think we already have heard that Spectrum is going to honor the contract, whether or not the Lakers play a full 82 or get to 70 or whatever. I don't think the Lakers get paid on a game by game basis there, right? That seems like an odd way to do the books. But you know what? If that's what his sources are telling him, then that's what his sources are telling him. But the money behind this is really interesting to me because it really does contextualize. Hey, this is something that needs to get done for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's going to have such a huge impact on free agency and on, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but again, I think that's part of how the NBA did fairly well in trying to figure out the many moving parts on this and why, you know, 22 teams may be a little on the liberal side, right? Of yeah. who should be there. But
LaMarcus Aldridge seemed to think so.
He certainly did. He was like, oh, we're supposed to go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my shoulder, guys.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been there. I've seen a team warming up and said, oh, man, my hamstring.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to hurt that guy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, man, but you can see certainly the financial incentive to do that, and the Lakers are no exception.
All right, last one here. Let's have some fun. Sorry, Kings. Shaq and Robert Horry say the Blazers were the best team the three-peat Lakers ever faced.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree, first and foremost?
Ooh, those Blazers teams were really good.
Yeah, they were.
The Kings teams were really good too, though. I am going to disagree with that. Mm. I think that the Lakers were not, they hadn't gone through it yet, right? The 2001 Lakers, the 2002 Lakers had certainly the battle fatigue and the, you know, and all of that, but they also had the experience of being a champion. And oftentimes in NBA history, you'll see a team that is like so-so in the regular season. And those two teams, they were good, but they were not dominant. Mm-hmm. And 2002, they just squeaked by. See, this is the one, this is the part of it though, that makes me lean toward Portland is Sacramento. The thing that's always lost in the complaints about the officiating in game six, which isn't nearly what they make it out to be, by the way. They had multiple opportunities, not just in that game, but in game seven to close things out. And they, like air balls by 3 feet, they got tight and they were, bro, in game seven on their home floor,
they
shot like 50% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
You know? And like, who are you going to blame about that? You had multiple opportunities.
Obviously the refs beat. Come on.
So I think the Lakers were in the Kings' heads a lot more than they were in the heads of the Blazers. So maybe that is the ultimate advantage there. But in terms of who the better team was, I do think that Kings' team was slightly better. You wouldn't have to twist my arm too hard for Portland. Where do you side on that?
I think the Kings were a better team, but I can understand why the Lakers said they were like the Blazers were a tougher matchup. Like they had Damon Stoudemire, who like nobody on the Lakers had a shot, a snowball's chance in hell of staying in front of, right? Like Bibby every so often.
Yeah.
But Bibby every so often would like you know, hit a few three-pointers in a row that would feel really backbreaking. But I whenever Damon Stoudemire had the ball, I just felt so helpless. It was just,
that's funny. I felt that
somebody,
I always worried about Bibby more than Stoudemire.
Huh?
That's interesting. Yeah.
So you had that, you had, you know, Rasheed Wallace just outright owned the Lakers. Like I was more nervous about Rasheed Stoudemire than I was about anybody on the Kings.
Or Rasheed Wallace. Oh yeah.
Rasheed Wallace. I just thought he was so much better than everybody else on the Kings.
He would, wait, you're talking about Rasheed Wallace on the Blazers, right?
Right.
Oh, meaning he's that he's better than anybody Weber. On the
Kings.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. He would kill us, man. It didn't help that we had freaking 73-year-old AC Green defending him, right? Like AC's a great Laker but yeah, he was not equipped to defend Sheed in that series. And that dude, it just seemed like he made every shot. Sheed was always a Laker killer I respected, you know? So I'm with you on that. They should have given him the ball a lot more than they did. Mm-hmm. I was always very relieved that when Sheed didn't get touches.
Yeah, and then they had, you know, Pippen was obviously later in his career, but they had somebody in Pippen who had a chance at guarding Kobe, you know, mm-hmm. just in terms of length and athleticism. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Kings had anybody.
Right, they tried Doug Christie. Yeah. No, but they didn't have anyone who could sit. That's a good point.
So, you know, with all that, the other thing, too, I was going to bring up when we were talking about Rasheed Wallace was that, like, that's what made that Game 7 against the Celtics so much more maddening. Because I'm like, oh, my God, this is when we're finally going to pay for all of those times right. where we just squeaked by Rasheed Wallace. Because he's now hitting everything for Boston.
Well, and he whooped us in 2004, too, when he was with the Pistons.
Yeah, with Detroit. Yeah, so, I really think when we talk about underrated players, I think Rasheed Wallace has to be one of the most underrated players in the history of the sport. Like people think of his like technical fouls and his antics on the court and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but he was a freaking baller, man. He's one of the players I've feared more than just about anybody else in my time as a Laker fan.
Right there with you. And he was ahead of his time too. He's somebody who I think would have been better in the modern era than he was when he played.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This is fun. Shouts to Silverscreen for giving us some content on a content-starved day. So for tomorrow's show, Pete and I, or I will not be putting together a Locked On Lakers show network-wide on all of the feeds across our entire network. We are going to be airing a special episode in which eight of our hosts, Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints, Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars, Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers, Keith Pompey of Locked On Sixers, Cody Davis of Locked On Texans, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, John Hickman of Locked On Texans, and your boy Q of Locked On Raiders, they are all going to, they've already held a conversation in which they all described their lives as black men in a country that hasn't always treated black men all that well. And you know, given some of the disparities in sports coverage, I'm really proud that the network has so many black voices to be able to share their experiences on this. And look, like Pete and I, we tried to hold our own conversation on this with our own experiences. We tried to make it known that the most important thing that we can do as two guys who, for all intents and purposes, operate as white men, essentially, the most important thing we can do is listen. So I really hope you guys check out this show. All of those guys do tremendous work covering their respective teams. And, you know, like I said, the most important thing we can do during all of this is just sit back and listen. And, you know, I've learned a ton. I consider myself pretty well educated on these matters. And I myself have learned a ton just by sitting back and listening to people who have gone through different things that, frankly, I will never fully understand. I will never know what it's like to be a black guy in this country. And you know, the only way we can learn sometimes is just to let let Black people tell their story. And in this case, that's what we're going to do as a network. So again, no Locked On Lakers tomorrow. It's going to be a special Locked On Network episode. It's going to air across all of the feeds. So if you listen to a different show on one of our feeds, that's what you're going to be listening to. And then Pete and I will be back on Friday to send you off into the weekend with something, whatever it is that we decide to cover that day. Again, I hope you guys listen. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's a really important thing that we are doing here at the network. And we aren't just going to be about words, too. We are, as a network, working on a way to make a donation to various charitable foundations that help with everything stemming from this situation that our country currently finds ourselves in. And whenever that happens, and if we figure out a way to get more help from you guys, the listeners, I'll spread that along to you as well. So have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Check out builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you on Friday.